Just did that to relax you, if I could. I don't know if I can or not, but here in the book of Philippians, the third chapter here, we have Paul is speaking here, and in this 13th chapter, and we have picked for our text this morning the 13th and 14th chapter, but I want you to understand something this morning, that 207 is gone. We can't bring it back. Whether it's good or bad, anything that happened to you in 2007, you might as well forget it. It's the past. It's gone. It's over with. But you say, Brother Veal, I had a lot of bad things to happen to me in 2007. And maybe there has been a lot of things that happened to you. Maybe you, last year you had maybe a death in the family or of a loved one. Maybe you, I know some of you here that are sitting here this morning, you've had some very bad health in 2007. And I know some of you that have had some very high debt. You got yourselves in over your head in 2007 and you didn't realize it. The state of Michigan was going to be in a recession. Now, we're about the only state that's having the problems that we're having. The rest of the country is about 5%. We're about 7%. So we're just about in a recession, and I think we're headed into one now, and I think it's coming. So maybe some bad debt happened to you last year. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you lost your spouse, whether it be male or female. Maybe if you've got a teenage daughter, maybe she came up pregnant last year out of wedlock. Maybe you lost a good friend. I don't know what type of situation you may have had in 2007 because I didn't live with you. But I know some of the problems you've had because I have counseled with some of you. And so I know some of the problems you've had. But what we need to do is do as the prodigal son said. He's in the pig pen. He'd lost everything he had. And here he's so depressed, and he thinks life has nothing to offer to him anymore. What am I going to do? He says, I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father. What we need to do is to forget about the bad things that happened in 2007, and we need to arise in 2008 and go to our Father, which is in heaven. That's what we need to do, you see. And then we need to use God as our guidance in 208. Let God guide and direct every part of our body, our footsteps, wherever we go, what we do, what we think, what we want to do. Always let God be the dominating source in our lives. Maybe some good things happened to you last year. Maybe you got saved. That's the greatest thing, by the way, that could ever happen to you in this world, is to get saved. Because there's going to come a time, people, when the death angel is going to take us. And if we, if God tarries, but if God doesn't tarry, he's going to come again. And we need to be ready. I believe with all my heart, soul, and mind that we are right at the edge of a door right now when the Lord is going to split the skies, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and us that remain to be going caught up into the air to be with the Lord forever. I believe that we are right at that point right now. And so I say to you today, the best thing that could have happened to you last year was getting saved, born again, accepting Jesus as your Savior. Because people, without Christ, you and I are nothing. Without Christ, we have no heaven to go to. When we're on our way to a devil's hell if we don't have Christ. So if you're here this morning and last year or the years before past, you did not accept Christ, the Bible says the day is the day of salvation for you. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Tomorrow may never come for some of us that are here today. And I can assure you, this time next year, all of us will not be here. Some of us will have passed on, because that's part of life. There's nothing we can do about it. We're born, We live and we die. The thing is to be prepared when the death angel comes for you. And you know, it's a glorious thing. We were talking out in the vestibule this morning, a couple of us, a couple of men. And we were just thinking about Sister Maggie going home to be with the Lord. She is an individual that had one of the greatest faiths that I ever met. I believe her daughter has more faith than she did. But they must have rubbed off on each other because they had the greatest faith that I ever seen in any individuals. And we were talking about how that when Sister Maggie left this world and she went to the portals of glory, I can just picture in my mind all the people that she knew that was standing around the pearly gates and welcoming her home. You see, people, this is not our home. We're just passing through. Our home is in glory. Our home, our destination is heaven. And one day, that's where we hope and pray that each and every one of you will be reunited there. But if you're not born again, you're not saved, you will not see your loved one that's in heaven again. It's over. You will not be there. You will be in a devil's hell, a hell, a place that the God has prepared for the devil and his angels. God did not prepare it for you and I. He doesn't want you and I to go there. That's why that he came down, manifested in the flesh, died upon the cross of Calvary for the remission of your sins, was placed in that borrowed grave, and the third day he arose again. And now he has ascended back into the heaven, right, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. He is our mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. How about trusting God's guidance? We have a chance, people. This is the first Sunday in the new year. We have another chance, another beginning. And Ephesians 5 says, let us learn to walk in love, especially in this new year. Let us walk in the light. That means in Jesus Christ. Don't be so materialistic. Don't be so involved in the things in the world, so that you don't get yourself in so much debt. Then when recessions come, you lose your job, you get sick, you can't work. You're not going to lose everything that you got in this world. Don't get so involved in this world in the new year. Walk with caution. Pray about everything you do. Pray about everything that you buy. Just pray, pray, pray. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Have prayer on your mind all the time. 208, we need to learn to be fruitful. Study God's word. Pass out tracts. You know, we had, I think there was 20 that showed up yesterday. 18 went out on track attack yesterday. I wonder what you was doing for 30 minutes yesterday. From 1 to 1:30, that's about how long it took. I wonder what you did. What was you doing? What was important to you yesterday? Those 18 that were here to pass out God's word, you know what was important to them? Getting out the word of God. That's what should be upon our minds and our hearts in this new year. Getting the word of God into the hands of people that have never said yes to Jesus Christ. Because you know what's going to happen if they don't get saved? They're going to hell, people. You say, well, I don't like to hear you talk about hell. Hey, I'd rather talk about hell now and maybe get you out of there before you ever get in, than to wait till you die and then you wind up there. We don't love anybody if we don't try to keep them out of hell. That's our job as children of God. We're all that God has. We're his hands, we're his feet, we're his eyes, we're his ears, we're his mouth. Attend church regularly. Read your Bible. How many is up to date already reading your Bible this year? 3 chapters a day. What's today's date? The 6th? You already read 18 chapters in your Bible if you want to read it through this year. Did you read this morning yet? 7 o'clock this morning, I was reading my Bible. Went in the kitchen to check on the wife. She's sitting there reading her Bible. Have you read yours this morning? Did you even read your Sunday school lesson this morning? In this new year, what do we learn to have a little bit of character about ourselves? Most people are like an old dead fish floating down the stream. It takes a live one to get upstream. What if you learn to have a little bit of character? What's that, Brother Bill? Don't be late for church. Don't be late for an appointment. You know why people are late? They want attention. Here I am. Look at me. I used to work with a guy. We called him Duke all the time. That wasn't his name. His name was John, same as mine. Don't start calling me Duke. Some people say dude, but pastor's good enough. I used to work with a guy called Duke all the time. And boy, Friday nights, he'd get all dolled up. And back in those days, they had walking suits, if you know what that is. It wasn't like a regular business suit. It was a walking suit, they called it. He'd get all decked up. I said, where are you going tonight, Duke? He said, he was all teeth, you know. I tell you, Reverend, I'm going out to the Polish club tonight, and I'm going dancing. But he says, I'm not going right now. I'm going to wait till everybody gets in there. And then, boy, when they get started, all of a sudden, he says, the Duke's going to walk in. The Duke's going to walk in. I said, well, what do you do that, John? He says, I want every eye on the Duke when he walks in, he says. He wanted attention. See, Lee, have a little bit of character about yourself. You know, I found out one thing. The one that lives the closest to the church is always the latest getting there. Or the one that lives the closest to his job is always the last one to get there. Always running late. That's called character. You're not born with character. You develop character. And my prayer would be that everyone, especially a child of God, ought to have character. A child of God, his word ought to be as good as gold. When he tells you he's going to do something, he or she will do it if it kills him. If I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I'll do it if I have to crawl to get there. That's character. You don't inherit that. You're not born with that. You develop that. If you don't have character, it's a lot of it's because you're lazy. You just don't care. Well, I'll tell you. When I get there, I'll get there. I really don't care. You go through life with that attitude, you'll never accomplish nothing. You know, I know you don't like words, but you heard that old saying, the early bird gets the worm. You wonder why you never accomplished nothing in life. You want to sleep till the sun is straight up and down instead of getting up when it rises. You know, the Bible says the daylight is made to work. Nighttime is made to sleep. Mary, that means when it gets dark, I'm supposed to go to bed. She wants to keep me up till midnight. Me, I like to go to bed at 7 or 8 o'clock. She won't let me. Let's get some character in this new year. Let people look at us and say, man, there's a person that you can depend on. There's a person that's got character. Learn in this new year, people. When these doors are open, you'll be here. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you'll be here. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't let a snowflake keep you home. Don't let a raindrop keep you home. Most so-called Christians in this world look for an excuse not to go to church. All those churches down the 12-mile road and all through there, all was closed during the holidays. Closed. Opened up on Sunday morning and that was it. Too much snow, too much this, too much that. Everybody shopping, blah, 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 blah. And everybody said, oh, praise the Lord, we don't have to go to church today. The preacher says there ain't no church. They'll get to heaven and God said, why weren't you in church? Well, the preacher's fault. He didn't open up the church. We like to pass the buck on to somebody else. Make the excuse to somebody else. People, we have to be accountable for ourselves. And one day the Bible says, every knee is going to bow, every tongue's going to confess, and you're going to meet God eyeball to eyeball. I'm not going to be able to do your Christianity for you. In 208. Brother Green's not going to be able to do it for you. Brother Lee's not going to be able to do it for you. You're going to have to do your own worshiping, your own Bible reading, your own praying, your own witnessing. You've got to do it your own self. This new year, let's learn to be a giver, not a taker. Most people... Brother, if somebody don't get this thing glued up. This is the worst microphone I ever seen in my life. I've already lost the other thing. Keeps coming undone. Somebody super glue this thing, will you? You get a chance. Well, why don't you do it, Brother Bill? Because I can't bend down, that's why. No, it's not too much of this. It's not enough leg work. Paul here, in his third chapter. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. If Paul forget about his past, you can forget about your past. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. People, today is a new year. We've got a whole year ahead of us. Some of us are going to have to try to correct some things that we did last year. But don't look back upon those things. Think of the future. Set some goals for yourself. Don't set real big ones. Set little ones. When you obtain that little goal, set another goal. And another goal. And another goal. If you don't set goals in your life, you'll never accomplish nothing. You know, life would be like you taking a shotgun and just sticking it up in the air and pulling a trigger hoping a bird flies into the bullet. That's the way the majority of people in this world live their lives. And people, those kind of people will never accomplish nothing. They'll always be behind the eight ball. They'll always, they won't have enough money to pay their rent, pay their utilities, buy groceries, put clothes on their back. They'll always be behind the eight ball. Why? Lack of character. No get up and go about them. Well, I guess I'll make it. Yeah, you'll make it all right. You wonder why things go the way they do for you. Paul says, I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before me. What's before you in 208? Do you need a job? Don't lay around on the couch and wait for somebody to call you. Get up off that couch, get out of that bed, and get out there and look for one. I've seen Mary and I, all kinds of jobs we passed yesterday. I was telling Mary, there's a factory right there. I think it was Grossbeck. There's a factory right there. Help wanted, it says. Well, I'd like to go there, Brother Bill, and look for that job, but I'll tell you right now, I probably can't do it. How do you know? You never tried it. You'll never accomplish anything if you don't give it a shot. I'd a lot rather say I tried and failed, or I didn't try and I failed anyway, you know. At least try. Set yourself some goals. You'll never read your Bible through this year if you don't say, I'm going to read 3 chapters a day. You'll never do it. I'm going to have perfect attendance in church. But if you don't set a goal like that, you'll never accomplish it. You need to learn to set goals. Paul says, I'm not looking back, I'm looking forward. We had a great year last year. We had over 38 people that joined the church. I forget how many we had baptized. I had to ask Brother Green, I forgot. But it's way up there, like 30 that we had baptized. That's a good year for a small church like this. Go down here to these big churches and ask them how many they had saved and joined last year. And a friend of mine, he's got a large church. They didn't have anybody saved and baptized last year. Nobody. They had a couple that they rustled from another church. We need to learn as a church here serving God, we need to learn to breed our own sheep. Go out in the highways, the byways, and compel them to come in. Get the sick, the lame, the down and out. Bring them in, get them saved. Teach them some character. Get them in the Word. Get them working for God. That's what God wants us to do. Look forward. We want more than 38 this year. We want more than 30 baptized this year. We cannot live on our morals from last year. We as a children of God, we have got this. Paul says, I'm looking at things before me, and I'm going to carry on. Paul says, I don't feel like it. I got a thorn in the flesh. But I'll tell you, God says his grace is sufficient for me. And so I'm going to keep going, God, until you call me home. That's what we're all supposed to do as children of God. And Paul goes on and says, I press forward to the mark. He set goals. He set goals. There's a mark, and I'm pressing towards that mark. Set a goal and head for it. Do what it takes. If you got to get some education to do it, get it. But what have you got to do? Press forward. I'll tell you what, if I owned a shop or an office, I'd lot rent, and I'm for education. I've got a little myself. You wouldn't know it. Listen to me. I got a little bit myself. But I'd a lot rather have somebody that has some get up and go about them and that would try than somebody that's all educated and they walk in and think they've arrived and don't want to do nothing. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for somebody that's not afraid to work. Are you afraid to work? Are you? These politicians, they want to pay everybody to stay home. Especially in the state of Michigan. We're the worst state. People are leaving Michigan by the droves. We better start working and doing the things we're supposed to do. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God is Christ Jesus. He's pressing on towards Christ, pressing on towards heaven, doing everything he can to get more people into the kingdom before God returns or before he has to go home. That should be our goal. I got to close. I'm just getting warmed up. My time's gone. Give thanks for everything.